Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Aspens on the Weekend Gardener. We are on Main Street in Holly Springs, right near 55. You can walk out to 55 and Thumb if you wanted to. I haven't done that in a long time, but it's so convenient. But I don't think anybody
haven't
here.
Done that in a long time.
I haven't. I did in school, prep school. I thumbed a lot.
My dad. Home. The story was my dad used to. Hitchhike home from NC State to Salemburg.
Yeah, yeah. Rufus used to try to get from Carolina to Boone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, took a circuitous route sometimes. But
yeah, the 1950s.
Right, but here
you're. But
you,
yours was
that.
After that. Your hitchhiking was after that.
Yeah. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
But we're at the Aspens, which is a luxury 55 plus home. So there are people who. Live here in these beautiful apartments, and they work. Some people just relax or do whatever they want to do. And I look forward to that, although I don't know if I'm capable of relaxing and doing what I want to do. So that's something that will have to be worked out.
I can give you some tips, Mike.
Oh, well, that's right. You're retired, yep. So you didn't mind driving all the way down here from Henderson, did
you? No, not at all. Okay. Yeah. Pleasant drive.
I'm going to entice Catherine to talk at some point. Catherine's with us. You never on the air, Catherine?
No.
You never want to be on the air? Okay. Well, we'll figure out. We'll be sneaky somehow. But Kim's walking around. Darcy will be here to talk about this gorgeous place. But it's very, very easy to come. And this is such a growing area. They have hospitals, shopping centers, great schools. They have all and transportation here. It's so convenient. You didn't have any trouble getting down here, did you, Jeff?
Just the toll roads.
Oh, you took the big time, aren't you? Took the toll roads.
Well, it's the fastest way.
Did you drive
the broadcast has to get on the air.
Did you drive the speed limit?
The broadcast has to get on the air.
Well, good for you. It's always comforting when I see that you're here or. Harrison.
Most of the time.
Oh, yes. I'm thankful you're here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. I'd let you know. I was just perusing some comments from producer Jason back at the station, and he said, this was last weekend, he said, here's an out-of-context line that Rufus just uttered. I wrote it down. I may look old-fashioned, but my clothes look good. Rufus, by the way, is not here with us, but he is on. I think on the phone. Is Rufus on the phone, Jason?
No, but I have Craig.
Okay, we have Craig. All right, I guess Rufus will be with us when he's with us. He's at Board of Visitors meeting, so he may be busy.
I need to go back to old programs, listen through them, because there's got to be a great book just full of Rufus and
Rufusisms.
Quotes. Yes,
we are Rufusless.
Yes,
yeah, say that.
Say that
in the Irish wristwatch. So we do have Craig LaHoulier, who is with us, who's known all over the world as a tomato guru, And we've been worried about Craig because he lives in Hendersonville with his wife. And Craig, good morning. We're so glad to hear from you this morning.
Well, thanks. Good morning to you guys. It was quite an experience being right in the bullseye of Helene, let me tell you.
So did your place experience a lot of flooding, landslides? What was your potpourri of events?
Really just, well, the big problem was all of the rain that came in prior to the storm. So by the time all was said and done, we had about 20 inches, 21.9, I think, was the official in our area. So, with Fran, it came through overnight. But with Helene, we actually got to see what happens when trees are falling down and such. So, but we're fine. It's all the people around us, even neighboring neighborhoods, places we've hiked since, places we've driven. Wow, what a widespread area of destruction out here. Pretty shocking, actually.
Well, are you all everything in place now, or are you you getting all the help you need, et cetera?
Oh, yeah. We're good. The worst that happened to us was we had no power for a week. The five-hour experience of buying a generator and getting gas for it kind of midweek. But we were lucky, so lucky. We lost about a dozen trees, but they all fell outward into neighboring yards.
Wow, that is really lucky. You know, we had similar experience with Fran in Raleigh.
Yeah.
You were here for that.
Yep.
And I'm sure you never thought you'd see that again. But
Helene triggered a lot of those same feelings because when you get internal hurricanes, we're not set up to have that type of wind and rain when you're interior.
Yeah. Well, at least you didn't have to go to work like I did that morning that Fran hit. Everybody was up in the neighborhood and some of my neighbors call the houses, is Mike really leaving to go to work? Because it was horrible. I mean, it took me well over an hour to get to work, and I did some things that the government tells you not to do when you're driving, like through water. But it's a life-changing experience quite often.
Places
it has
like,
been for the mountains.
Swannanoa, Batcave, Chimney Rock, parts of Asheville will really literally never be the same. Fred came through in 2021 and did a lot of damage, but it wasn't nearly as widespread as this one. Did Rufus end up in his Boone area? Okay, because they caught parts of this too.
Yeah, the few relatives that he has up there now said that I think he has one who's head of the EMS, and they were they fared pretty well. His relatives and a lot of people did there, but a lot of people there were people who died there. People who have not been found who live in that area, the Ashe County and Watauga County areas, Avery. So, I think they fared a little bit better than the southern part of the mountains, but it's all relative. It was all bad.
I've learned a new word, the Blue Ridge Escarpment. I had never heard of an escarpment before, but I've been watching an awful lot of videos that were made by this geologist where he explains how it squeezed all the rain out of that storm and how the mudslides formed and really came in and destroyed Chimney Rock. So I've become a part-time geologist.
Wow. The Blue Ridge Escarpment. I wonder if tomatoes will grow in that.
The very tops. That's the high areas right on the top of the hill. But, talk about not thinking much about gardening, but I actually had 8 plants that made it through that were growing in straw bales, and I've saved seeds from them. And we've not had a killing frost here yet.
Oh, my goodness, you have not.
No, it's been very mild. And it looks like early December, maybe when we get the first time we hit the 20s. So we've still got perennials growing and flowering shrubs. And looking at the long-range forecast, it may be our third winter in a row without even a flake of snow. So it's
warm. That's not good for the mountains.
No.
Economically or anything else.
Right.
So did you see weeds?
What's that?
Have you seen different weeds come up that were blown in by the hurricane?
Not yet, but I have a feeling next year we'll see some, because Japanese stilt grass seemed to come in very aggressively after Hurricane Fran, right?
Yeah. Right, it did.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, it's all been a little bit weird. All of the money that was lost to the local businesses because the leaf peepers couldn't come in and see the foliage. All the roads were closed. A lot of the Blue Ridge Parkway is still closed. So, it's been a time.
Well, Mike, one of the things, you know, the outpouring of support and help that's come in from all over the state and the nation has been heartwarming. Another thing people can do to support that part of the state is buy a North Carolina grown Christmas tree, because the impact on the farmers was tremendous as well.
Yeah.
And, of course, North Carolina mountains, we're like the number two grower of Christmas trees in the nation. And those farmers took a hit, and if you want to do just a small thing that helps you and helps them, get a North Carolina grown Christmas tree. And you get that here locally at different lots. Phil carries them at Campbell Road Nursery. So all kinds of places.
Do they grow many Christmas trees in your area?
Is this to me, correct?
Yes, I'm sorry.
Yeah, we're not a big Christmas tree growing area because we're a little bit warm here, and the types of trees that grow on it tend not to be the balsams and the ones that people want to pick. So when we want to do a U-pick, we drive up towards the Boone area and Glendale Springs and places like that.
What about the apples, the apple crop? I know that there were some orchards that were destroyed in that area, and that's something Hendersonville is certainly known for.
Yeah, we're actually going to go out after this call and get some apples out toward Fruitland. You can't get all the way down Route 9, down Route 64 into Batcave yet, but we can take a look at a lot of the vineyards and a lot of the apple places and see how they're doing. But they were wonderful before the storm came in because they didn't get the killing frost last year that damaged a lot of the buds. So we go to a place that has 60 types, a lot of heirloom apples, and we were really, really enjoying lots of those until the storm hit, and we hope to see some today.
Well, we have been joined by a member of the Board of Visitors at UNC Chapel Hill, the Right Reverend Rufus Edmonston. Morning, Commissioner. How are you today?
Well, my goodness. I heard that you've been defaming me about one of my quotes.
No, I just noticed that on a text from Jason. I did not hear you say that, so I thought that it should be etched in granite somewhere. Well, so I at least wanted to share it.
A little bit of inconsistency, but that's okay. I'm allowed to do that at my advanced age now, right, Craig and Paul?
I thought
absolutely.
I thought that was something. At first, I thought that was something that you said at the meeting, the Board of Visitors meeting.
No, that was sometime in the near past. I didn't say much at the Board of Visitors. I was a freshman, but at least somebody did say, "Well, here's an icon." I tried to look that up and see what that meant.
Well, you certainly are that. You certainly are iconic. So
I heard Craig talk about he headed toward Boone to get a in Christmas tree area.
Yeah. I hope a lot of people will do that.
Well, Craig, I want to put in my request again on the Rufus tomato. I did not do well last year with it, and so if you go ahead and favor me again with a couple seeds if you've got any.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Well, why don't we delve into why you didn't have success, Rufus?
Well, I lost them. I have to confess, Craig. I lost them somewhere out in that vast dungeon of my garage. And I did find my cousin Gladys's tomato and did well on that. But I have to confess, I lost your seed.
Well, easily replaced. I've got a lot of them, and I think I sent them out to at least 20 or 30 people that really enjoyed it. So it,
oh, wow.
It probably will be, and it will end up in a seed catalog probably next year. So I will
wonderful.
Get you some seeds. I will
now
get
that,
you some
that's
seeds.
Better than being called iconic.
Right, right.
You got a tomato named after you. Got a hot dog, got a semi-road, and a tomato, that is good.
Well, you know, I remember I remember when I named a tomato after A.C. Snow, and I think he wrote an article in the News and Observer, and it sounded like one of the highlights of his life. He was so tickled. So yeah, when you get something named after you, it's kind of it lives on forever.
He liked to talk a lot about gardening, and
he listened to the show, Rufus. Because he wrote me a note from his beach house that I have framed. It was so nice, and he was so complimentary of the Weekend Gardener. This was many years ago, but I cherish that and cherish everything that A.C. Snow ever wrote.
Wonderful.
He loved the bluebirds, didn't he? I mean, so many of his columns, he talked about the bluebirds in his yard.
He did indeed. He was quite an outdoorsy guy. I'm not talking about hunting or fishing necessarily, but he did enjoy gardening and nature a great deal. So we've still, and Rufus, I know you recall this. We're still once in a while get a tomato question, or somebody brings up. I guess they're lamenting their loss.
It is the iconic plant, the tomato plant.
It is, and I guess the hardest fruit, or I don't know if it's the hardest fruit or vegetable, but it's certainly hard to grow, or it can be, unless you're Craig.
And well, I did not have the greatest season either, and yesterday I received a note from someone in Ireland who grows a lot of the seeds that I've sent him, and they have the worst tomato season over there in a long time, so... those who grow tomatoes are having to adjust to changing weather conditions and humidity and diseases and insects. And each year, you're kind of chasing your tail to see how you can make it work out. And you never quite know.
Well, what is there anything we need to be doing right now to prepare for tomato season? I know that in the past... we have gotten a soil test, but we use containers so much now. Is there anything we need to be doing to prepare for that auspicious event next year when we start growing tomatoes?
Well, so this time of year, my view is it's the planning time. Sit down with a pad and a pen and write down what happened this year, what varieties you grew, where you got them from, whether you were pleased with them or not, and start thinking about the changes you want to make next year. More plants, less plants. As far as then, if things really didn't work out, that's when you consider going to something like containers and straw bales. If maybe the ground that you've grown in has had tomatoes in it too many years, think about rotation or think about a new spot. Working compost into your soil, as you said, a soil test and doing those adjustments. But really, it's like a puzzle. It's like doing Sudoku. It's figure out what went well, figure out what went wrong, and do your darndest to either repeat your success or make some adjustments. Because gardening can often be the definition of insanity, where we have some difficult gardens, but we don't change anything, and we kind of bang our heads against the wall doing the same thing every year.
Broadcasting's kind of like that, too.
Well, Craig,
but be confident to make some changes.
Well, Craig, word sort of got out at Chapel Hill here that I was doing something called the Weekend Gardener, and I was asked yesterday by two people who container grow tomatoes, and they said, I've had good luck in my containers, and I've had the same container for 2 years. Can I use it again with the soil? I said, well, if I just amend it a little bit, maybe with the black cow, if you've had luck with it for 2 years and then you got some disease, leave it alone. Was I wrong?
That's exactly right. And the when I toss potting mix is if the plant in it really had a dire disease issue, something that probably came through the root system, like a fusarium or something like that. You wouldn't want to reuse the soil if the plant didn't do well. But if the plant did do well, like you say, just amend it with some fresh mix, yank out anything that's left of the stem and root system. I like to suggest people just leave them out and let them experience a little bit of the frost and the cold, because that could also kill any of the disease spores that may be remaining on the surface of the soil. And then just add some black cow, like you say, some compost, and get ready to go the next year. So potting mix can be really expensive. For container gardens, it can be the most expensive part of your garden. So if it's working well, reuse it. Now, after 3 or 4 years, it may have gotten pretty tired, but, use your judgment on that.
All right, we're at the Aspen. There's just a lovely expanse of gardens and buildings, and just everybody's so relaxed here. I'm relaxed, I'll tell you that. And they're prepared for Christmas. There's a beautiful tree in here, and we're going to talk with Darcy Woodward. Darcy, you're going to talk to us, aren't you?
I'm going to do my best.
All right, we're going to talk to Darcy coming up here in WPTF. You're listening to The Weekend Gardener. We're in Holly Springs at the Aspen, a luxury complex for 55 and older. So a few people up right now.
They're relaxing.
More of The Weekend Gardener coming up here on WPTF. It's 8:27. Okay, we're back on WPTF, The Weekend Gardener. We're at the Aspens. I've been saying Aspen. I'm thinking about the resort in Colorado. But this is a resort community, Darcy Woodward, is it not?
It is absolutely like a resort. When you walk in, you feel like you're in like a high-end hotel, and this is your home.
Folks are over there. You brought in Bojangles biscuits.
Brought in a lot of Bojangles. A lot.
Yeah.
They're fabulous, too.
That'll get people out of the bed.
Well, you know, everybody's slowly coming down to have some hot cocoa.
Oh, well, that's the way it ought
Bojangles.
To be.
Absolutely. This is our community center. This is where everybody comes and hangs out, and we do lots of different happy hours and snacks and beverages. We're about the food here, too. We like to eat.
Nothing wrong with
that's
that.
That's why the Bojangles is here, right? So we can have some fun.
Yeah, Socrates said everything, and I guess in excess. No, he didn't say that.
Not well. You know what? This is why people come here, because
everything he said, everything in moderation.
But excess usually works too, right?
Yeah.
But everybody comes down here and hangs out with each other, and it's meeting people and making friends, and that's what it's about. It's about the community.
So you've only been here a year.
We just had our year anniversary.
Yeah.
Yes. So
it smells new.
It does, and it's bright and shiny and new, and it's just light and open. And very inviting, and again, everybody wants to be down here so they can see and make new friends and do different things, and we have lots of activities for them to do.
I'm kind of shy. I'd have to be coaxed.
We help with that.
Here.
We do. We
you
help.
Do.
We introduce people. We get everybody together.
Oh,
and
wow.
We do different events because everybody has a different, hobby or something they want to do, so we kind of have something for everybody.
Nice. I have read reviews about the Aspens, and they're fabulous.
Thank you. Well, we work here because we care, and our residents are here because for various reasons, but they really just want to be around other people of their own age doing what they like and having companionship. And we have a pickleball court, we have a movie theater, we have a yoga studio, an arts and crafts studio, a fitness center, on top of all the activities we do. So we are very active, and we are very, very social and very happy.
I think I heard you say that this is kind of your retirement job. I mean, that's a wonderful thing to be. I can't imagine doing that. I get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and work 6 days a week.
Well, you know, everybody has their version of it.
I know, but that's not it's not relaxing at all, except for this show.
Well, there you go. But, no, this is great because I want to be around the people not only who live here, but their families. The families are such a big part of this here, too.
Yeah.
And they're wonderful when they come in and visit, when they come in and see what everybody's doing, and joining in on the activities because that's always welcome as well. And the community is welcome. And we invite the community to come here, not only take a look, but be part of our day-to-day life and look at our activities.
Well, talk about the amenities here, because I saw maintenance-free.
Well, it is. We have.
Wow.
Well, we have a full-time maintenance director. So this is a 55-plus apartment community. The great part about this is you're right next to everybody your own age with your own interests, doing your thing, and you don't have to worry about a thing. We have full-time maintenance here. We do not have to have you do any kind of work at all. You kind of call us, let us know when you need something, and we're here and we help. And that's the best part is when you get to a certain age sometimes where you have a house that's too big and you're kind of done with the leaves and the lawn maintenance and all that.
The dust.
All of that, right? The taxes.
Taxes, yeah.
Yeah, all of that. You can come here and you can just not even worry about any of that, and you just pay one monthly bill and you're done.
Beautiful apartments here.
They're gorgeous. So. They're absolutely set up as you know, full kitchens, full size washer and dryer and all. They're beautiful. They're bright and they're open, and they're great colors. And it's just really, really peaceful here.
It's a lot of land here. Any gardeners?
We have someone
residents?
That's about to start a gardeners club, so maybe we'll get her over to talk to you.
I would love to talk to her.
Yeah, she's been wanting to do that, and that's you know, having left home, as a lot of them had, you know, large yards and gardens and.
Right.
And that's something. So we kind of, when someone has an interest, we either help start a club or the people who live here start their own club and work with each other. So there's a lot going on here.
Do you have
that.
A government here?
Do we have a government?
Government. I didn't know if you had a mayor or anything.
Well,
I mean,
there
this is
are.
A pretty big
I
place.
Will tell you there are some of our residents who are very, very mayoral. So, you know, they
well, you have a post office.
We do have a post office, and we definitely have people here who help lead and help each other so much.
Well, you picked a wonderful community. People love Holly Springs, this part of
I'll tell
Wake
you what,
County.
A lot of our people who live here are here because their kids and grandkids live here.
Right.
And they're moving from up north and coming down here.
Yeah.
And it gives independence because you don't want to always live with your family, right?
No. So, you want to see them all the time.
Right. So you have your own place, and then you have your own friends, and we're within walking distance of, 8-10 restaurants, a grocery store, a drugstore. You can just walk around the corner here. So we're right in the heart of Holly Springs and at half mile from downtown and not even a half mile from UNC Rex Hospital, which
right,
is just open
they're extraordinary
here.
Health facilities
lots
here.
And lots of doctor's offices around here as well. There's just about everything here. The community center is right down the street, so we have a lot.
Right.
It's a great location.
The Aspens. And it's very easy to find. You can see the place right on 55. We're not on 55. We're on Main Street.
We're on Main Street. We're kind of close to the intersection of it.
We're
very close, and we're always open for tours. We love people to come in. We love to show it off. We love to show it off.
I can see why.
So come on in. We can show it off. We're doing tours every time we're here, all day long.
Darcy, I hope you will come back and we'll talk some more.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I appreciate you guys being here
so
much.
Yeah, we love
thank
being
you.
Here. Thank you
we appreciate
very much for
it.
Inviting
it's
us.
It's very nice.
Thank you. All right, you all. Thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am. And I'm sorry Rufus isn't here so you can meet
I want
him.
To hear the stories,
absolutely. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, next time we come, we'll
well, from what he's talking about, maybe I could run for something there since they've got so many people there.
I think you could win, Rufus.
Run for something.
Yeah, you just make the rounds and politic a little
Rufus,
bit.
Rufus, stop on by because I absolutely want to meet you sometime.
Yeah.
Oh,
everybody wants to meet Rufus.
Everybody wants to. I know. You're popular, Rufus. I know. you hear it all the time. That's okay. That's okay. We appreciate you guys being here.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much, Darcy.
Thank you.
919-860-9783, 919-860-WPTF. Brother Rufus is with us. Rufus, I think you should, Craig, you may think this is a good idea, too, for Rufus, since you're over in Chapel Hill, set up a little garden table, and you can answer questions there. To anybody.
I spent a lot of the day yesterday when the word got out about me being on the Weekend Gardener asking questions like the tomatoes. And another question people got, what blooms in the winter? And I said, well, I had to describe what a daphne was. And I went through my own routine. Don't look at it. Don't talk to it. Don't water it. And winter sweet.
Azaleas. I mean, my gosh, Encore azaleas seem to bloom throughout the fall, and even some that are not supposed to, even some varieties that are not supposed to.
All my old formosas, Mike.
Yeah.
You saw it the other day when you picked me up. The formosas that have never bloomed before springtime are just in bloom now.
Yeah.
I can't figure it out, Craig and Paul.
Yeah, Craig, what about up in the mountains? What's is there anything blooming right now? I think you said flowers and things are still looking good.
Yeah, we have some repeat blooming azaleas that are having their best bloom in the fall we've ever seen since we've lived in this house. And our camellias are just outrageous right now. We have about a 10-foot tall, 6-foot wide white camellia that must have been planted when this house was built decades ago, and it looks like snow underneath. It is just covered with white flowers, and of course lots of yellow jackets that seem to enjoy visiting the flowers on those, so you got to be careful when you walk by it. But that's kind of the camellias and the azaleas, and because it's been so weirdly warm, some flowering fruit trees are confused, so we've seen some cherries and some plums blooming where they're not supposed to be blooming right now. But you know, that happens sometimes when you get unusually warm weather in the fall.
Rufus, before you got on, Craig was describing what happened to those folks down there, and he asked about the Boone area, and I told him that your relatives and the people up there fared a little bit better than the folks down south, but it was still pretty tough.
Yes, it fared better than Spruce Pine and the area you're talking about, Avery. Especially Avery County was hit real hard. And Watauga, I thought I would never see a lot of things, but I saw the streets of Boone in about 2 feet deep of water that day. And I said, well, this is one for the ages. But it all soaked away. And I think they've accounted for everybody now in Watauga County.
Yeah.
No one that I have heard of is still missing, and that's a blessing.
Yeah. Wow. So what building did you meet in, Rufus, for your Board of Visitors? Which building there?
We met in the Student Union. I got to meet a lot of students yesterday, going back and forth.
Oh, how about that?
So we heard from the chancellor last night, and I told him something that was amazing to him, that I remembered his grandfather, who was from Louisiana.
Hale Boggs.
Boggs.
Yeah.
Well, and he said, well, you know, I was 3 years old. I never got to know him. And I said, I remember your mother, Lindy Boggs, who, when Hale Boggs died in a plane crash.
Up in Alaska.
His wife, Lindy Boggs, who's the chancellor's mother, grandmother, she took over his seat in Congress. And, of course, his mother is Cokie Roberts, the famous broadcaster. I'm sure she's in some broadcasting hall of fame. She was on
NPR
public radio.
Yeah, but she was ABC, NPR, then ABC with David Brinkley, and of course special correspondent. But smart lady.
Well, I think he's going to do a good job, and he was very intrigued that I had personally known his grandfather. We saw a lot of good folks over.
You need to find out if he's a gardener.
Well, I didn't get around to that. Everybody was trying to talk to him to get somebody into school.
Yeah.
Yesterday we had one of the speakers was to tell us all about his mission. Well, that speaker made it even worse about getting in Carolina. It's a mystery to me how they choose people at any of these institutions, because they just use, criteria from the unknown, from the outer world.
Yeah.
That's a mystifying process to me. But there are a lot of good colleges around. You can't get into NC State or Carolina. And goodness knows who'd want to go to Duke, but I think that.
No. We he's just kidding, folks. He's just kidding.
Yeah.
You're in trouble, Rufus.
I'm sitting on the balcony at the Rizzo Center now, and I'm in the next hour, I'm going to be driving home. Maybe a little.
Are you warning people that you're going to be driving home?
Well, I'll be on the radio with you.
Okay, well, be careful.
Rufus, if you look around the Rizzo Center, you'll see some of our flowers.
Your flowers are everywhere, Phil.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, go out and say hello to them.
Say hello to the flowers.
The grounds here are absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, that's nice to hear.
Where on campus is the Rizzo Center? Is that
it's about 2 miles off campus?
Oh, okay.
It's at Metamont.
It's in the near the Metamont.
Oh, okay. Know exactly where that is. How about that?
Yeah.
Well, that's it used to be out of the country. It used to be a pasture there with cows in it.
Oh, absolutely. I remember that when I was a student and the 2-lane road 54 from Chapel Hill to Raleigh. Now
that's
hard road to thumb on too. I heard I must have heard it or something, or somebody told me that you mentioned something about thumbing, Michael.
I did. I used thumb, and you did too.
Yeah, I had some quite some stories on my thumbing experience. Thumbing.
Yeah, me too. Me too. But at least it was pretty safe back then.
Yeah, no such thing now because you wouldn't dare get out on interstate.
No, you wouldn't do it now.
Somebody picked you up anyway.
That's right. Everybody's got a car now, too.
If you were a college boy like I was at Chapel Hill, you put on a coat and a tie. That was the signal to people that, okay, this is somebody that might not kill me. And that's how you found back in those days.
Well, I was in military school, so I was wearing a uniform. So I looked military, and so I didn't have very much trouble. But
in your archives, I've never seen you pull up a picture of you in uniform.
Well, I didn't used to take pictures. I've never been. I mean, I love taking pictures now, but people didn't take a lot of photos back then, at least in my circle. And I did find two or three. Melissa did, because I had to find a bunch of pictures that kind of show me from baby up to adult for this. North Carolina Broadcast History Museum project that UNC and the museum and NCAB are putting together. In fact, I was in Chapel Hill Tuesday to be interviewed by Professor Charlie Tuggle of the Journalism School there at the Curtis Media Center in these television studios, and that was filmed, and wow. What a time that was! I'll have to show you some photos of that. But I do have archives that will be there.
Right. By the way, is Phil on the show today?
Phil's sitting right here. She's been mighty quiet today.
I'm here. Well, I'm just letting everybody do their thing.
Phone ring, and I was afraid I'd lose CTF if I answered it.
Oh no, it's okay. I'll talk to you later. It's not a problem at all. I've been listening. Hey, sometimes you just got to listen and learn a lot.
Relax a little bit.
Yeah.
So, Craig, you were talking about somebody in Ireland contacted you. Your people follow you and your website all over the world now. And bring us up to date on that.
I did my summer of Instagram lives again, and, it's amazing. So I'll have people from Sweden, Finland, Poland, Ireland, England kind of watching and asking questions. So it's a really nice kind of a tomato themed community that I have. But next year is going to be a little bit different for me. So I can get my book finished. I'm going to do kind of a semi-sabbatical, meaning far less events, far less Instagram live, and really, I need to carve out time to sit with my laptop and just finish the book. So, I'll be 70 in a year and a half, and it feels time to have smaller gardens and do a little bit less public-facing stuff. And just, our grandchild is due December 25th, Our little Eli will be here, and Caitlin lives only a few miles away. Caitlin and Jason. So
you'll be busy with that
next year.
Yeah. That's great.
I had a physical yesterday, and the doctor asked me, he said, when are you going to retire? I said, you're working 6 days a week and all of this stuff. I said, well, I don't know. That's my hobby. And stuff too. So,
well, retirement is a funny word because I'm actually doing more for more hours than during my 25 years at GlaxoSmithKline because I'm enjoying it so much. So it's just part of life, the writing and the talks and the gardening. It's life and work have kind of completely coincided now. I'm just having a blast, but I need to do less public stuff and I need to do more, which is going to be hard for me because I enjoy people and I enjoy meeting people, but Sue will chain me to the laptop until I finish the book.
What's the next book?
Yeah, you've been working on this for a while. Tell us, bring us up to date on that.
It's really the story of our dwarf tomato breeding project. I think we'll be up to about 165 varieties in seed catalogs within the next few weeks. But, you know, it started in 2005, so it's, what is that? 19 years of work that I've got to document. And in a really concise form, talk a little bit about tomato genetics at a very basic level and some of the people that helped us out. But the book's got to be written because we've got so many tomatoes out there and people want to know the history behind it. And then once that's done, we'll see. There's other books I'd like to write on gardening history and such. But It all depends on. So I've got about 400 or 500 seed catalogs from the mid-1800s up through the early 1900s. And there's lots of stories to be told from those catalogs. And, we'll see. I don't think I'll ever completely stop doing this.
Are you sorry that you don't have a doctorate in horticulture instead of chemistry?
No, because getting the degree taught me the scientific method, and I garden like a scientist, the way I track data and see what's happening and make adjustments. But gardening is also an art where you get to taste things and look at things and enjoy just the aesthetic. So it's kind of the perfect hobby that combines science and art and tinkering. So I just feel like a pretty lucky guy to be able to do this. You know, being on this show, you've kind of given me a chance to just drop your note and say, yeah, I've got a few things to say. So I really appreciate that, Mike.
Any time. Now, it's not tomato season, but we always love to talk tomatoes because people are obsessed with them. You're the expert, so we love any time of year, any week you call me or
contact and
me.
It's beyond gardening. You're good people that talk about interesting things, and it enhances the lives of all those who listen, so you're doing something really important.
Well, thank you so much, my friend Craig, and God bless. I'm glad y'all are okay.
Craig, you enjoy that baby when it
That's
comes.
That's right.
Yeah. Wow. That'll change your life. You have no idea.
Well, my wife has been knitting and quilting and sewing up a storm. And we were actually in Indiana a week ago to attend a baby shower that Caitlin's boyfriend's parents threw. So it's kept us hopping, believe me.
Well, have fun.
Craig, thanks so much. We got to go.
Yep. Bye, you guys, Greg. Have a great day. Thank you, everyone.
We'll be back.
Bye-bye.